Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
Then David ran, and with the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath, he dispatched him. Among the many weapons held in the armory of the sacred scriptures, the ancient sword of Goliath forever stands out as a blade of singular power and significance. It was incomparable. The Old Testament itself will later say of it, "There is none like it." Goliath himself, no doubt, fought many enemies with this mighty sword. Little did he realize, however, that the last man to be defeated at the edge of his own glorious sword during his lifetime would be himself. Betrayed by his own blade was Goliath, by the very brand meant to conquer God's people. Through the hands of Holy David, that momentous sword would transfer its allegiance from Goliath to God. The most famous scene we heard today, in which David first wielded Goliath's sword, was in a way the beginning of David's public life, so to speak. King Saul had reluctantly allowed David to fight Goliath. David was young, inexperienced. He was not a soldier. In fact, he was only on the battlefield that day as a mere delivery boy, sent by Jesse to deliver supplies and food. But Jesse did not realize that in sending David to deliver provisions, David would instead deliver Israel from the clutches of the enemy. An unlikely outcome, but as David told Saul, "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and bear will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." And so it was. David dispatched Goliath with Goliath's sword, and all of Israel was stunned. David's fame was sealed, and that very sword became a precious artifact of Israel, signifying the power of God's marvelous works over evil. So special was it that the sword was at once taken to a sanctuary, the Tabernacle of Nob, where it would be safeguarded by the many priests there for a time as a precious treasure of divine victory. And while all of Israel rejoiced at David, not so for Saul, who in sending David to fight Goliath was unaware that he was also propelling David into that moment which would inaugurate his fame, causing David to grow from glory to glory and himself from envy to envy, until suddenly Saul, who once heard David say the Lord would deliver him from the lion and the bear and this Philistine, was now adding his own name to the list of creatures who would seek David's life but fail. And Saul did seek to kill David, such that David would flee. But in fleeing, God led him providentially to take refuge in the very sanctuary that where that unrivaled sword of his first victory was kept. After Ahimelech fed David and his men, he then offered to David to wield that sword once again. And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." When Saul found out that David once again wielded the Philistine sword, and that the priests there had also fed David and his men, Saul was struck with such great anger, and he issued the dark command, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord." And they did. But David pressed onward, wielding his sword to greater victories still. As for Saul, he also had more battles to fight, but now without David's help. And who would come to fight Saul again but Goliath's own people, the Philistines. And against them, Israel was failing. Once again, Saul found himself on the cusp of a Philistine defeat, and now without David and his confidence in God those years ago. Refusing to die at the hand of a Philistine, 1 Samuel ends with Saul taking what but a sword and falling upon it himself. As David had made a beginning of his military career with a sword, so Saul would end his with one, a tragic death caught up in dark swordsmanship. As for us, brothers and sisters, the scriptures offer us a sword too. A sword waiting, hidden away in the silent, secret sanctuary of your soul within you. We find it every time we pray. We strengthen it, charge it with more prayer. It is the New Testament sword which St. Paul commands us to wield when he says, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And later we hear, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Today's great saint, Saint Anthony of the Desert, would wield the same sword time and time again. He loved God's word. He defined his life by the word of God. He followed it to a T. St. Athanasius says that Anthony gave attention to the readings in church and did not let fall any of the words of Scripture, not any. When people needed advice, St. Anthony offered the word of God. When the devil came against him, it was the word of God, fortified by his prayer, virtue, and asceticism, that drove the devil out of his life and others. Anthony's life was defined by the sword of God's word and brought about the conversion of many, even influencing the life and conversion of our own Holy Father, St. Augustine, who, though was only 2 years old when St. Anthony died, as an adult, St. Augustine heard that mysterious command, "Take and read," and so read Anthony's life, which was a catalyst for his conversion and a catalyst for so many others. Like St. Anthony, may we never let go of the sword of God's word. May we never let one word fall to the ground, but instead take up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Goliath's sword, for all its remarkable strength, could never compare to the sword of God's word, given to us so constantly in the sacred liturgy. Reach into the spiritual armory of the heart. Take up the sword today. For of this sword we can truly say with David, "There is none like it."
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot's Circle podcast. May God bless you.